San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us stream on any device as the show airs on Saturday nights. And it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author and lecturer and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Joe. I'm happy to be home. I crisscrossed the country from, like, San Diego to Denver to San Antonio to Houston to Boston and back.
Oh, my gosh. All business trips or some pleasure?
Well, sort of. You know, my wife Mary owns the women's professional tennis tournament that runs every year down in San Antonio, the San Antonio Open. So we were down there to watch. Part of that Masaki Doi won that event. And the big event was Stan Wawrinka showed up, the number four player in the world, because he's dating one of the women players, and he had lost in a heartbreaker the night before in Indian Wells. So he jetted down and showed up at the McFarland Tennis Center in San Antonio, which is really big news because we didn't expect him to show up.
Yeah, you were at Indian Wells. How was that this year?
Oh, Indian Wells was fun too. Djokovic won that again. And of course, Azarenka upset Serena in the finals.
Yeah.
But then we took off from San Antonio to Boston, went from 110 degree weather down to about 40 degree weather. We actually left Boston a day early because we heard it was going to snow, and that was a good decision. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't even be home yet. But you know, my wife Mary's running the Boston Marathon, but she wanted to meet her teammates with Zoo New England.
Yes.
And so we went back there and stayed in a flat in the South End.
What is the date of the Boston Marathon?
It's Patriots Day, which is Monday, April 18th. So we had a big fundraiser over at Zoo New England while we were there on that Saturday. We also ran about 12 miles of the course, like the Newton Hills and so on, so she could get familiar with the course. But anyhow.
Now you're going to run it in a special
condition.
Yeah,
but let me tell you the funny story about my wife, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and we'll wrap it all up.
All right.
So anyway, they have this charity event at Zoo New England last Saturday, where it's, you know, come out and meet the members of the Zoo New England racing team that are going to run the Boston Marathon.
Now, so Zoo New England is the New England Zoo, or what is
it? it's the zoo in, you know, in Boston. They're it's just a little founded in 1912.
They're just a little dyslexic, but okay.
Yeah, founded in 1912. But so anyway, I have to go pee, so I go in the men's room, and above the two urinals there's this advertisement for this event that we're at, and it's, you know, for the event we're at, but it has a photo of the running team, including my wife.
In the men's room?
In the men's room, correct. Now, fortunately, there was no phone number there, just her picture.
Okay.
But it was, you know, come on out and support this charity.
Did you bring a magic marker with you or not?
Well, anyway. So I was laughing my head off. This is hilarious. So anyway, the marketing director of Zoo New England was there, Sandra Davidow. So I said, hey, Sandra, I love that thing you put in the men's room above the urinals. I said, you're an absolute whiz at marketing.
A whiz. Very good.
Very good. I said, your innate sense of, you know, drawing attention to the cause is just amazing.
That's one in a row.
So anyway, but that's enough. But I just didn't expect to see that in the men's room in Boston, my wife's
And that
photograph.
Leads us into what next?
I'm not sure. But
well, I thought now you're running this blindfolded, right?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, so much for their number one marketing idea. I'm also running 2 days before the Boston Marathon. I'm running blindfolded the 5K because 2 days before the marathon itself, and Mary's actually going to be my guide. I'm running the 5K blindfolded to raise a few extra bucks for
the
Perkins School for the Blind, where Helen Keller went to school, because, well, some people know the story. I didn't take up running until I got my eyesight back in January of 2003 after losing it in late 2001, and that's when I took up running, and of course...
And you lost your eyesight and gained your 40 pounds, right?
Yeah, so I had to lose weight, so that's why I took up, you know, and of course, now Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, the Oceanside Turkey Trot, eighth largest turkey trot in the country, so I thought, man, I'll do something that has to do with being blind and running, so I'm going to actually do that 5K blindfolded to see how it is to run. So if you want more information, I know we got some stuff up at iymoney.com, also on the my Facebook page, my wife Mary's Facebook page.
There you go. Support the cause. Wonderful.
That's good stuff. And then three things real quickly about my kids, because I promised I'd mention them all. Number one, my middle daughter, Mia, went to the Bernie rally down to the concourse this week.
The Burning Man rally?
Yeah, Bernie was in town.
Oh, Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
Burning Man. But Bernie Man. Yeah. Hey, that's a good one.
Bernie Man.
I'm gonna copyright that.
So I said, hey, Mia, is parking free? Well, she didn't think that was very funny. So anyway, the moral of the story, everything with Bernie's free except parking's not going to be free because they had to pay $15 to park.
Well,
That's how that goes.
That goes to the city.
Yeah. And then congratulations to my youngest daughter, Demi, 19-year-old sophomore at San Jose State, made the Dean Scholar list again. And then, of course, happy birthday to my son, Evan, who just turned 25.
Wow.
I'm going to shut up now. Bye.
How about the pets? How are they doing?
They're doing great.
Okay. Anyway, last week, Tom Dreesen, what a great show. I've had several people tell me they really enjoyed it, including Sean here. He listened to the podcast. But I forgot to mention to him that, you know, I went on the Tonight. I was a friend of a guest, Sam Blattner, and got the first time I think it was 22. And of course, I got to ride in the limo with Sam from the hotel to NBC Burbank. 22-year-old kid, you know, I mean, I thought I died and went to heaven. I thought I'd do the smart thing and wear a jacket and tie. Well, I get to the show, and of course everybody on the crew, they all in blue jeans and whatever. So everyone's looking at me. They're thinking it must be Fred Silverman's nephew or whatever. So I'm backstage like 10 minutes before the show. There's this big like wagon with coffee on it. I'm getting a cup of coffee. Who comes up? And someone said, never talk to Johnny before the show, blah, blah, blah. And he comes right up next to me, and he's like 3 feet away. I've got this cup of coffee. I could not turn my head or even, I didn't know what to do. But I promised myself from that time forward, I would never get tongue-tied again. And I think I've done a pretty good job of untying it. But I did have another chance to get up there and meet him after a show where he was walking off with Diane Carroll, and he did say goodnight. And I actually brought him a gift. And that was, I think, the last time I went up there when he was on there. But that was like early 80s, and then Sam passed as well. But I mean, what great memories. And I forgot to mention, in 1977, I did send some material up to his talent coordinator, and Johnny did use it and say my name on air. Did I ever play that for you, Richard?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that on the bonus track.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so it is cool. I listened to that.
My claim to fame.
Exactly. Joe on Carson.
But anyway, with enough delay.
Hey, Sean Puckett with California Republic Bank. Well, do you want to follow that?
Well, Richard, come on. We gotta. When you do the intro, you have to say... We have two guests in studio.
Joe, you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, I would like to do that. He always reads the last chapter first, Sean Pyro. Anyway, with us, we have a great sponsor of the show, fan of the show. He's also Senior Vice President for California Republic Bank right here in beautiful UTC. His name is Sean Puckett. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me back, guys. It's fun to be back on the radio with you jokesters.
Yes. So, yeah. And to your right is a noted consultant who's here for your program last week. She's an author and a health and performance consultant and a keynote speaker and a PhD, and her name is Heidi Hanna. Heidi, welcome to the show as well.
Hey, guys. Nice to be here.
Excellent. So let's get to it with Sean. We have a couple of minutes. Sean, obviously, Senior Vice President. Do you want to talk about the mission of your bank real quickly here?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, California Republic Bank is still somewhat new to San Diego, but not new to California. And so we're just spreading the word about kind of a new look for what a bank can do in a great town like San Diego. So, you know, the focus is offering private commercial banking services to individuals, businesses, investors, and family offices. Mm-hmm. And all of those that we serve generally invest primarily in commercial enterprises rather than passive investments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since 2007, California Republic Bank has remained one of the safest banks in the country. And we've got five offices here in Southern California, which is Newport Beach, Irvine, Beverly Hills, Westlake Village, and now San Diego.
There you go. And you've been in the industry yourself quite a while, haven't
you?
Yeah,
this is my 16th year as a banker, serving, you know, the same types of clients. And I just love people. I like solving problems. I've got the banking experience, and I just bring my relationships experience to every meeting and see what I can do with it.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, Sean was named one of the 40 most influential under 40s in San Diego. He's no longer under 40.
40 people to watch under 40.
The secret's out. I've passed the 40 mark.
Yes.
Dang it.
It's all downhill from here.
Let's give the website crbnk.com. And we've had Lane Elliott on, your principal there. And boy, he's been in his entire life. He just reminds me of the old quintessential, you know, the guy who's, you know, school of hard knocks and just learned the business from the ground up from his early days in Los Angeles. And it's great.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, banks carry a lot of assets on their balance sheet, but anybody that knows Lane knows that one of the biggest assets of California Republic Bank is Lane Elliott because of just what you said, Joe.
Yeah. And boy, talk about, he told that great story about getting that client. He needed a big multi-million dollar loan for a big real estate transaction.
Over the weekend.
In a matter of days. Yeah. Usually these things take, what, 45?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. You know, as a bank, if you're trying to be everything to everybody and you don't know where you play well, you're going to be busy being busy all the time. Mm-hmm. And at California Republic Bank, we know where we play well. We focus on that. And so when we get opportunities with the right clients, you know, we can operate at lightning speed, and that's critical.
Yeah. We have to take a little break, though, right? Now, we'll be back with Sean Puckett and Heidi Hanna right after these words. Hang on. All right, we're back with Senior Vice President of California Republic Bank, Sean Puckett, and also Heidi Hanna, business consultant, author, health and performance specialist, and welcome back. So, Sean, obviously we talked about Lane Elliott a little bit. You guys got some pretty good recognition here, rated number one by Credit Suisse and on your website.
Yeah,
some pretty cool things.
Yeah, thanks for noticing that. It's really critical to our mission to remain to be a very safe and sound bank, and so we're really proud of the fact that we've never had a problem loan or a loan loss in our commercial banking portfolio. And for a bank being around 7 years, we're not sure if there's another bank in the country that could boast that. Mm-hmm. We know what we're doing, and we're making sure that we're not taking undue risk with our clients' deposits. Mm-hmm. And many of our clients have multi-million dollar deposits, upwards of maybe even 50, 70 million on any given day. So those safety and soundness ratings are critical to our mission.
But Sean, speaking about safety, I know you're dealing primarily with wealthy families, family offices. There's another form of safety that's just been huge in terms of the news, cybersecurity, or security in general, but particularly as it relates to the internet and cyber. I know you guys are leading experts there, correct?
Yeah, extra steps in that regard, huh?
Yeah, and I think what we've done is we've leaned into it. We've noticed the problem, and instead of putting it back on the clients, we've developed our own proprietary way of helping our clients with it. And I've been having trouble, you know, how do you frame the conversation of cybersecurity? We all talk about it. We all know about it. Mm-hmm. But I was having lunch last week with our chief information officer, and he framed it really well. He said, you know, remember in the Wild West days, there was bank robbery, money stealing, mm-hmm. you know, robbing trains, all that kind of stuff. He said, well, that's all come back. But the new age is the cyber theft, and the criminals are very sophisticated crime syndicates in, mm-hmm. you name the country, you know, China, Russia, North Korea, whatever it is.
Right.
And it's not, you know, in these crime syndicates, these people are highly educated. They know English. They know how to crack into the emails and watch email traffic and learn the way someone communicates and then start sending dummy emails to mm-hmm. people that control money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can imagine the many different threads of how that works. But, I mean, can you imagine waking up, you know, to send your kids off to school, then you go to a high rise into your crime syndicate and you work on a computer hacking into other countries' money all day, and then you go home and put your kids to bed. I mean, this is a business.
Yeah.
And so we have to be ever more vigilant about how they're doing this. So we're on the cutting edge and the leading edge of looking out for this. And, you know, we've got a closed loop wire transfer system that we've built that we supply to our clients. So we configure the hardware, we put it in their shop, and it's a closed loop system that cannot be hacked.
And then communication between your client and your bank, it's pretty secure as well, right? Do you have like a dedicated iPad or anything like that?
Yeah, so we actually buy and build iMacs for our clients that only transfer money. And like I said, it's a closed loop system.
Wow.
So that's leaning into the issue. And, you know, we're really proud of our IT department, which we do all of our own IT in-house as opposed to farming it out, which most community banks would do.
You're probably leading in the industry in that regard, huh?
You know, as far as I know, we are.
Great.
Yeah. I think the biggest compliment we've gotten, though, was recently a friend of mine said, hey, my friend owns XYZ company, and, you know, they had a wire that went out that their employee got duped to send the wire out. And the employee had a false email that came in, and mm-hmm. she paid attention to it and mm-hmm. did what the email said, which was not the right thing to do.
Right.
Normally in that case, the money's gone. That's mm-hmm. it. See you later. Mm-hmm. It gets transferred to another bank, then it gets transferred out of the country. Well, our team got all over it. We got to the other bank, CTOs talked, they figured it out, And the biggest compliment we've gotten was the FBI agent that was on that case told our client, he said, it was an absolute miracle that you didn't lose money. I don't know what your bank did or who they are, but that was unbelievable because you should have lost that money.
You were able to intercept that, huh?
Yeah,
then?
Wow. Yeah, I know. While Mary and I were sitting either in Denver or Houston having lunch, changing planes, she got hit and had like 15 transactions, all of small amounts, right out of her account, like in a matter of 2 minutes.
Unreal.
I mean, unreal. Just like that. Boom.
The sophistication is just way beyond, I think, even where we think it is. And so we have to be ever vigilant.
And let's put an FYI out there for folks. And I don't know if your bank's had this happen to you, but, you know, you'll get this email from Chase Bank or one of the banks, and it looks like a legitimate email. And they want your they say update your password information or whatever. And, of course, it's called phish. And once they get into that, they can get a lot of your personal data and probably compromise your financial situation. Yeah. Has that happened to you guys at all with phish at all that you know of or not?
Well, so our clients, here's how it works. You know, back in the old Wild West days, the train robbers knew where the money was. The new crime syndicates, they know where the money is. So our clients that hold on to big deposits, we're educating them. We're helping them understand what the different techniques are, what out to look out for. And the solutions are actually pretty simple. It's called going old school. You know, pick up the phone and call somebody, confirm something. We all know that big companies aren't going to ask you for your personal information over the internet. They don't do it. So if you get one of those emails, it's fraud.
You know what I do? I guess it's phish report. Talk to your ISP, your internet provider, and find out what email you want to forward that to somebody at their office, so they can follow up on it, hopefully, and maybe contact the person the business they're masquerading as well. I send it to the FTC as well. There's a web. I think it's FTC.gov. I forget the beginning of it, but at least look around for that to help alert people. And of course, delete it. And good luck with all
that. I think the main takeaway here is that we lean into this. Yeah. You know, everybody in the bank is well versed in it, and we're looking at it and focusing on it constantly.
Yeah, it's just a darn shame that it's international now, and it's hard to bring the people to justice when they're thousands of miles away out of the country, right?
Yeah,
just assuming you can even find them.
Yeah. Well, that is adding to my stress, and I'm so glad that you brought it.
Mine too.
Yes. Because that leads into, you had a great program last week, and I think a client kind of asked for some personal development or